This is a HeadGum Podcast.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car-selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We listen to Family Force 5. We're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
My butthole's tingling all the time!
Do you think you can make God laugh?
No, bitch.
Dr. Anthony Fauci.
You're a clown if you say fuck.
I'm a Christian wife.
Sicario.
I'm a Christian wife.
White women are notoriously shifty.
I'm a Christian wife.
You should be upset that I had a laugh with her.
Clean up on aisle butt.
I'm a cougar now, and I like Mac Powell.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we love Mac Powell.
I love a young man, Mac Powell.
I'm a cougar, and I love Mac Powell.
I always forget to say this, but I love the part of the song that's like, do you think God listens to us? And it's like, bitch, no, or whatever it is.
You said it, and you've heard it six times. And the quote is definitely, do you think you can make God laugh? No, bitch. And you said, do you think God listens to us? And you, bitch, no.
I'm telling you, I forget every time.
It feels simple, but maybe it's not. Good Christian Fun is a podcast that seems simple, but maybe it's not. It's a podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, movies, music, and entertainment made for and made by the chosen people, Protestant Christians.
The original Americans, Protestant Christians.
The original pilgrims, the founding fathers of faith.
The bedrock of this nation.
That's right. In a way, each of the founding fathers was a Peter in his own right. I know. Isn't that great to think about? More parallels to the Bible and the origins of this wonderful country that we should be grateful to live in, and we're actually blessed to live in.
Anyways, welcome to the RNC. We're glad you're here tonight. We have an opening speaker.
The it's Paddington best Bear. Is yet to come!
Come! That was amazing.
That, you know, listen, and I thought about putting that in the theme song, and I decided against it because I didn't want to. Because it's also going to be a week later, so who gives a shit?
Yeah, this would have been your week to do it after that.
Fun for us, though. We're not here to make you go to church or proselytize to you. We're just here to have fun. Did you start your day well, Caroline? Are you in a good mood? We've recorded some where maybe you were in a big mood. Are you in
big
a good
mood
today?
Is good. Yeah, I actually am in a good mood today.
Hey.
Yeah.
How about that?
I'm on the right side of the bed.
History.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm ready to rock out. And I love this high energy band that we're about to talk about. So it's going to be, I feel good. I feel
so
spicy.
Technically,
you,
Caroline, the genre is crunk core. Crunk rock.
I was not going to let that get to the airwaves, but here it is.
Yeah,
it's crunkcore. Spelled with a C too, which isn't right.
Well, I started the day by finding out that multiple cars and garage doors in the alleyway behind my apartment complex were vandalized and graffiti tagged with dicks. But I'm not kidding.
I'm so sorry.
I was spared.
Man.
My car was spared.
Sorry, this spray paint bottle is from I'm doing some furniture redoing.
Wait, what the? Wait.
Outside.
Your hands
outside.
Are covered in blue dicks?
I have blue dicks on my
teeny
hands.
Teeny tiny little blue dicks. Oh, gracious.
Oh, my gosh. So
quite
a
commotion.
Did they put a dick on your car?
No, again, I was spared. It was very, very Old Testament. Listen.
Wow. Really big writing on the wall.
Uh-huh.
Blood on the doorway kind of moment.
Or lack of. Yes.
Yeah.
Big plague energy. Or freaking Passover energy is what I meant to say. Not plague.
Big Passover energy.
Yeah. Not plague. I'm just thinking like, you know, that Moses stuff. There's other stuff.
Yeah. It was a series of plagues.
That's right.
That's crazy. That's so sad for all your neighbors. And now that I think about it, like, your cars are really exposed all the time.
Very exposed and vulnerable. Yes. We don't live like one percenters like you and your husband do in your complex, Caroline, which I will not dox any further.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
Here's what I would say, though, as someone who does not drive an expensive car. Maybe if you live in a one-bedroom apartment, you shouldn't drive a Mercedes.
What if that's like their one luxury, though, you know?
I think that's a stupid luxury to have, and I think you're a dumb person.
Okay, says the man with like 17 terabyte hard drives and like
you think
every
that's a
camera
luxury?
On Earth.
Honey, yeah. That's storage and those
are
tools.
What about all your cameras, babe?
The camera's a tool. That's how I make...
You shouldn't have them. You don't need them.
No. The camera is
a tool for what now?
Hey,
for your pet photography business?
Now go to OnlyFans.com/KevinTPorter and you're going to find some little...
Fully clothed.
Piggies wiggling out of their socks finally.
Oh
once
my God.
And for all. Now the camera's a tool. That's like, it's not a luxury camera. If it was a Leica that costs like $9,000, that'd be like, oh, okay, you don't need to do that. But
okay,
the camera just gets me to where I need to go, honey.
All right, well then carry on in your high horse. Giddy up, Mr. Man with nothing nice.
Trust me, nothing nice. definitely not the thing I'm staring at right now. In the topic
yeah,
for
the
today.
Yeah, the 65-inch thing you're staring at.
Hey, listen, I thought ew. We again,
no.
I'm saving it
listeners,
for OnlyFans.com/KevinTPorter.
Everybody calm down.
We're calm.
I know, I'm talking to our listeners who are going to be like, 65 inches, yeah.
Yeah, the beard, or whatever your impression of them was. That was so mean on second service. The topic for today, speaking of 65, take 60 off of that, just 5, family. Force 5, FF 5. There's FFH, there's FFM, there's CCM, there's PFR, there's CBGBs, there's ASAP, there's BRB and LOL, but this is FF 5, Family Force 5.
Yeah, 5.
Which we've never listened to on the show. I can't imagine why.
I've heard the name so many times, like we must have talked about it in the past, right?
We literally mentioned it last week.
Oh, really?
Yes, we did.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
we were
cool.
talking about it because it was adjacent to tooth and nail stuff or something, which is shocking to me.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't think, you know, like Pedro the Lion, Family Force 5, but...
Yeah, I don't know if those fit.
But so it goes. Here it is. But, you know, maybe after today's podcast, it'll be a Family Force 6, 7, 8.
Aww.
Wouldn't that be fun if we could join
that
the family?
Be fun.
Families
yeah.
are, you know, they're ever-evolving projects. And we welcome you to our GCF family. And we welcome a new guest to our GCF family today. Friends and folks, FF5. She is a content creator and writer. You may know her from the Bitch Rising Instagram account. Give it the hell up for Alyssa Murray!
Hello. Oh, wow.
Hello.
This is too much.
Hi.
Hi
hello.
There.
Hey there. What's up? Stat the boo. How's it going now?
What's the most expensive thing you own?
Whoa, that's
not a car. I don't have a car.
No Mercedes allowed. Okay, well, that's good. You can carry on. Well, welcome to the show. We're glad you're here.
What was the thing you deducted that would like really helped on taxes last year? Where it was like, oh shit, I can write this off?
I was homeschooled. I don't know anything about taxes.
Hey, you know, is that a homeschool thing?
I was not homeschooled
it's
and
not
I also
knowing a lot
don't
of
know
things.
Anything about taxes. So.
I am truly curious how many of our listeners, when they do their taxes via TurboTax or whatever the hell, just feel mm-hmm. like they're doing a Hail Mary and just, I hope I'm not... committing tax fraud.
I'm so scared of it.
It was a lot easier when I worked at restaurants and that sort of thing. It's really hard now being a freelancer, but
oh my God.
Why is it easier at restaurants?
Just because it's like one job and it's W-2.
And they just like give you that W-2, you just fill it in and you're done. That's like it.
There's your refund. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. It's easy. But then you also have to work at a restaurant, which is not
which is
fun.
Not,
there's
not
pros and cons, you know, but some could say, listen, doing the W-2 thing, that's coloring by numbers. There's no mm-hmm. artistic integrity in just drawing inside the lines. Whereas
right.
as freelancers with multiple revenue streams, some of which you're not even aware of exist or not, It's like a frickin' Technicolor explosion of
like
numbers
a painting,
and
your palette is your receipts, you know, and whatever you decide to count for.
I know someone who still has not done taxes for this year. He got an extension.
Is he in prison?
No, okay. But he should be. Yeah. Like you know who. Freaking flip-flop Fauci. Alyssa, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, friend.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. We got to know how you grew up with G.O.D., the big man upstairs.
Before we get into Family Force 5.
Yes.
Okay. From the beginning. I was homeschooled K through 12, basically.
Where? Where geographically?
I grew up in Central Florida, and when I was younger, my family went to a First Assembly church. And then it wasn't until I was like 10 that we went to like a different kind of church that was more like non-denominational. Almost everyone there was homeschooled, and it was just like very like...
Awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
Okay, great.
It was a lot of rules. It was just a lot of rules. But I was homeschooled with my twin sister. It was just me and her. And my mom taught us, and we used a Becca.
I used a Becca as well. Hell yes.
It's the go-to. And I think it's funny because I remember reading my history book and opening the first page, and it was like, the beginning of the Bible, so like the beginning of the world, and then like after Genesis, it went straight to Christopher Columbus.
Oh my God!
It was like that was like the next step, like the next page, and that's a Becca.
We call him Messiah number two.
Another first American.
That was fun.
That you just literally gave me flashbacks because I kind of forgot that, like, oh yeah, a lot of the history books I read started with Adam and Eve. As the history of like the literal starting of, you know, humanity.
Whereas I have none of those triggers because I bypassed history altogether in my education.
Not in science.
Kevin's mom said, you know what? Skip it.
Which means every historical drama is a surprise. I'm never like, well, I'm always like, what's going to happen to Lincoln? Oh, he's going to a place. Cool.
Whoa, we won World War II? Damn. Did not see that coming.
Did you say not see that coming?
No, I didn't.
Very poor taste.
No.
To not make that joke.
I should have.
You should have. Okay.
So you were doing your schooling and I'll take this, Kevin. Thank you. You were doing your schooling and when you were looking at your history book at that time, did you think like, were you critical of it at the time, or were you just kind of like, this is the way it is. This is true. I like it.
I felt like I was missing something. I felt like I was missing a lot of things. I mean, there were a lot of good things about homeschooling because I'm not very good at taking tests and that sort of thing. Like, I'm just better writing papers. So that was, like, easier for my mom to sort of tailor it around my sort of learning patterns and that sort of thing. But it was very lonely. We had like a church group that we would meet with, and we had like a biology lab like together to dissect frogs because that's important.
And that actually proves God. If you look at the design inside frogs, that proves God.
The way they perfectly fit inside a hand.
Didn't just happen. Mm-hmm.
You don't look at a split open frog and say, there's no Jesus. Think again.
This happened by chance? No way.
God. I think my biggest problem with like with everything was just like I wanted to be a part of the real world. I wanted to like have my own friends and my own interests, but like all my time was pretty much accounted for because like I was, you know, would do homeschooling during the day, and then, you know, my parents are really strict. Like, I would have to, like, if I wanted to listen to something, they would have to read the lyrics first and approve it. Same thing with books, like they'd have to read it first.
They have to read the book first before you can read it?
Yeah, my mom read Twilight before I was allowed to read it.
Oh my gosh.
And I still wasn't allowed to read it after she finished it.
She's like, let me read the second and third book just in case. Yeah. She's like a diehard.
Which is, like, honestly, like, it's fine because, like, I think that having, like, a good media diet is important. But I just think it's funny, like, the things that they picked, because even, like, with Family Force 5, it's like the lyrics are, like, not great. Just not in the way that, like, not about like sex and drugs, but still about like misogynistic male manipulator type stuff. But it did teach me to sort of be aware of what I'm like taking in. But I just wanted to sort of like take in all of pop culture, like anything I could get my hands on, because it was so like, I just couldn't have it. I couldn't have any of it, you know? And it was like, I felt like I was missing out on a lot of things. And I listened to like DC Talk when I was younger. The first concert I ever went to was like Newsboys. I was like a kid. And I was not really interested. I was like, oh, this isn't DC Talk. No, thanks.
Sorry, Newsboys.
I had taste back then. I'm sorry.
Be better.
DC Talk's better than Newsboys.
It depends on what we're talking about, because eventually they do merge and there's no difference at
that's
all.
That's true. That's a whole different story.
Mm-hmm. So Florida homeschool stuff. Let's skip to that sweet, sweet the deconstruction process.
Heaven.
What? We the all D. know where this is oh, headed.
Oh my God.
We all know what the D means. Deconstruction.
She wants the D and it's deconstruction.
My family's really religious. My dad grew up Christian. My mom became a Christian when she was like a young adult. They knew each other from church. And so it was just like a part of my life. And I think that like I was questioning it a lot for a long time, but I was so scared of hell that it was just like not even something I would even entertain. And there was no outlets for me to like where I could like who I could talk to about my doubts. I think it kind of started when I was like, I have like, you know, like some anxiety disorder, some mental health issues that I dealt with when I was a teenager. And it was always sort of like, you're having these problems because your relationship with God isn't working. Like it's not strong enough. So it's like your fault and you need to figure out what the heart problem is. It was always like, what's the heart problem? And it turns out I was just like not well and needed to be medicated. And once I realized that, I was like, this is such a scam. It was like I was punished for so long for things that I couldn't control, as if it was like something I totally could control and I just was like willfully not. So like around like when I was like 17 or 18, I just kind of like, it wasn't even that I like lost my faith. It was just like I was like lost my interest, because it wasn't making me happy and I just felt everyone was judging me. So I just left. Yeah. And then college was just like an experience of like minding what I believe in. And I'm still figuring that out, because like for a long time I was like anti-God, where I was just like pro Satan, like gay sex, like everything that's like the opposite of like what I was taught. I was just like, yeah, like whatever. Yeah, just like anything that was like anti-God. It was just like anything. Awesome. I just wanted to get away from it, like distance myself from it. But I think recently I feel sort of like frustrated that, because I sort of feel like it, like Christianity sort of like, it's still a part of me. I'm mad at the people in the system and not, but I was mad at the people in the system, but now I'm just mad at the system. Which has like been hard, but I like the fundamentals of Christianity. I like accountability and I like trying to like be better and not just focusing on, but like, I don't want to focus on the rules so much. And I think at the church that I was at, it was just very rule oriented. And then, the church that I grew up in actually had like a sex scandal that made everyone mad, and it still exists. But
was it like a cheating scandal with
it a cleaning lady or a pool boy?
There's a story, it's called Sovereign Grace, you can find it online. There's like stories about it, but it wasn't anything that happened in the church. It was like I apparently like some like advice that was like given to someone who was a victim of abuse. I don't really know the whole thing, because it happened after I left, so I didn't even find that out till a few years ago.
It's interesting that like the aspect of being a like a better person is like, yeah, it's like appealing to everybody and like a good virtue to have too. And I think it sounds like where you were from, it was like, well, let's just fix your behavior and then everything will fall into place, you know, and like hence all the rules and not really addressing that like your mental health struggles were just like an internal thing that you can't fix with your behavior right now, you know, like without medication or like adequate care for that or something. And so the fact that it was just like, well, it's a heart problem, so fix your behavior and obviously this will all get better, you know, is such a sad bit of advice you got and would definitely make you want to run at some point.
You almost wish with a lot of this stuff that the thing that was emphasized more, because I do agree with you, Alyssa, in the sense of there's a lot about the not fundamentalist Christianity, but the fundamentals of Christian theology or faith that I really enjoy and admire. And you do wish almost that the people in positions of authority or influence would have emphasized those things as values more so than the pathway or the execution of the values. So obviously the pro-life thing is something we talk about where it's like, okay, I don't think like the value of pro-life is only communicated as the strategy of making women have full-term babies rather than like, what does it mean to be pro-life? Focus on the value and then like do the logical given next steps from there. Or thinking about the ideas of accountability or thinking about the ideas of even charitably egalitarianism. What would those mean to emphasize those rather than this is absolutely how it works and you have to do this. I was talking to a friend of mine recently about the idea of judgmentalism because that's something that comes up so much with people's bad church stories or bad faith stories. Everyone got too judgmental or there's too much judgment. And I was talking to this person about my current faith situation or church situation. And I said, oh yeah, you know, the church I go to, it's not super judgmental, I guess. I guess it is somewhat. And they're like, what do you mean? I feel like being judgmental is kind of the whole thing. It's kind of one of the bedrock principles of it. And I think my rebuttal to that is that there is a necessary kind of judgment that does have to happen in life. And I think about like the BLM movement right now. Like you can't really support the BLM movement and not believe in a form of justice or judgment and think that there is a way that the world ought to be or the way that things ought to be. So of course it's a part of it, but because we focus on this like very narrow definition or execution of the value, we totally lost sight of what the value would actually mean. So justice and judgment, in one sense, we fully obfuscated how it should work itself out in life in the sense of logically you would support this, logically you would advocate for this, logically you would be a person that actually fights for this thing and for this systemic thing. So I do kind of like join you in that kind of sadness and mourning of I wish you could just like have the values carte blanche without the everything else attached to them.
Yeah, because the values don't just like go hand in hand with being progressive because there's a lot of mean progressive people. And even though I agree with the rules that they're following and I'm following the same rules or similar rules, I don't think that you need to be nice to everyone because some people harm other people. And if you're nice to them, you're harming other people too. But it's also like there's a lot of gray area. You know, black and white is like for kids. Like gray area is like it's more complicated and you have to think through a lot of things and people are scared of that. And it keeps them from like really understanding why they do what they do. And I always want to know why I do what I do and like what's right and what's wrong. And I want to have like people who like keep me on that path. And it's like, I don't always find those people within progressive groups because it's really just about following the rules. And I see that like in any group, not just like religious groups. Like since I left, I see it everywhere.
No, yeah. I know what you mean. I feel like, yeah, there have been like certain like progressive circles too, where I'm like, oh my God, this reminds me a lot of Christianity, or at least the kind of Christianity I grew up in, of like, no room for gray area. No, this is all bad. There is nothing redeeming. There is no empathy allowed in this situation. There's no compassion allowed in this situation. And like, you're not even allowed to imagine how this person got to this point in their life or whatever. And yeah, just that same absolutism that like we all like, you know, denounce when we try to extricate ourselves from like evangelical Christianity. Mm. So I don't know. I don't know what the piece is or like how you fully like say, well, like, well, we can be judgmental, but they can't. And like, what is the difference? And how do you tease it out into like what judgment really is, you know, or like what compassion or empathy or right or wrong is, you know?
Well, the place I start with a lot of that stuff, and speaking, Alyssa, to what you said about having more resentment towards systems than individuals, is starting first from the core belief that everyone is a victim of something. Even people in positions of power, even the president is a victim of something. I mean, obviously with his parents, there's some wild going on, but even people who have privilege, people who are marginalized, there's some sort of ideology that keeps them trapped in what they are. I'm a victim of something. You're a victim of something. The people listening to this are a victim of something, whether they know it or not. And so starting from there and then trying to zoom out to what those systems are, but then starting first with the person as a person and an individual as an individual, and that mm-hmm. they do deserve you know, ideally, I don't know if we can do it with everyone, but like they ideally deserve compassion, love, and empathy with all those things.
Or at least the opportunity to change or like get better, you mm-hmm. know? Yeah. And
they have three tries, and if they don't get it in three tries, they're out. Three strikes.
You know, I think prison is like a perfect solution for that.
Okay, sure.
Love prisons.
I've been thinking about this because I just finished watching I May Destroy You, which is the show by Michaela Cole starring her. It's incredible. And I was reading this interview about it afterward because the show centers around like a sexual assault that happened to her both in real life and in this show. And she kind of toys with the idea toward the end of like...
Are you going to spoil it? Should we do a spoiler alert?
Yeah, maybe a spoiler
alert.
Yeah,
okay. Like do a 45 sec.
She toys the idea of like actually having empathy for her like rapist and what it would be like to actually think about what got him there and what he is like and what it would be like in so many ways. And she talked about in the interview about like radical empathy and how that actually can be really taboo, even in the people that are like in these, you know, big progressive movements. And that's not to say that like, oh, we should just give them a pass or whatever. But like, I think it's really still important to always be able to put yourself in someone else's shoes and like to understand. Yeah, like Kevin said, like they are a human at the end of the day. They're not a big bad monster. They are not a system. They are a person. And like you can always reserve a little bit of mercy for someone, you know?
Yeah. And I think that like a big thing is like there's things that we all agree on, like in progressive groups, obviously. But then there's little things like anything, like can you eat Chick-fil-A? Like what is the politics on that? Like that sort of thing where it's just like I've been around people where they're judgmental about even little things like that. And I don't want to be like that, but I know that people are like that because there's like this inherent like need for humans to like feel better than other people. And I do that too. Like I want to feel better than people too. It feels great, but it's really like not helpful. And I'm like trying not to do that anymore. And that's why I really want a community of people that like are really like trying not to do that too, because it just a lot of negative energy and I don't like that.
So how have you found to be the most effective way of shaping that community or that group of people that you want to be around?
I have some good friends who are like, you know, cool and everything, but you know, it's taken time, especially living in LA. It's hard to meet people. Yeah. I mean, I've been kind of considering like trying to find a church or something. I'm not sure. I want to find something, some kind of group of like progressive people. Cause that's really important because I just don't think that like Christianity is supposed to be like as backwards as it is. Like we need to like bring them to now, and someone has to do that. And I feel some kind of like entitlement to Christianity. I feel like it's mine because I was like, I grew up with it. I read the Bible. Like, I mean, I just went to like service like 3 times a week. Like we had care groups and youth group and everything. So I was like in it.
Wow. Others adopted darkness. We were born in it.
Oh God.
Yeah, I was born into it.
I grew it up.
But that's kind of like coming back to it on my own terms has been interesting, and it's still new. So because I've just been so anti-God for so long, because it caused me so much hurt and it's caused so much other people hurt that I'm like, I can't even. But like I know at the heart of it, like it's supposed to be good, and just like it keeps being turned into something bad because people can be really bad.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. Sometimes Christianity can feel like the friend you see so much potential in, but they just keep ruining their life. They never move out of their hometown. And no, you could go to community college. You could take a class. You could become an electrician or something. And it's just like, yeah, kind of fumbling the ball every time. But yes, there is. I think there is hope. And there is so much to the idea of church did provide a pretty easy way to shape community because everyone already agreed upon something to be there. Whereas the kind of piecemeal thing that we all have to do now is so much more trial and error. And you might click with someone and it can feel like magic, or it can just fully fall on its face because there's not even like a first pass authentication to whether this person has somewhat of the same value system that
verified.
You do. Yes.
Alyssa, have you looked at churchclarity.com ever?
.org.
No.
Churchclarity.com is just really high resolution pictures of churches.
Churchclarity.org. If you are looking, it might be helpful because they just publish like whether a church is open about being like queer affirming or not, or if they allow women to be pastors or not. It's just like a great, I don't know, like first step to in finding maybe a church even in your area that like passes those basic like rules for you, and then you can go from there.
Those are important.
Yeah, seriously.
So I want to talk to you before we take a break about astrology and the kind of relationship it has to you in your life now, and maybe how it complements or maybe fills in some of the gaps that Christianity left or a life of that sort of faith left. And talking about the Instagram account Bitch Rising, or B Word Rising, as some people put it.
My mom says it. I'm going to be honest. I fucking hate astrology now.
Hey, we hate Christian music now.
No,
I'm kidding. Fine.
Now.
No, it's like I like making people laugh, and it's an easy way to make people laugh. I think it's really fun. I think it's a good way to look inward. It's a good way to examine things in yourself, see things in yourself, see blind spots in yourself. Like you might see someone with a certain placement because you're more than like your sun sign. Like you have your one sign that's like when you're born, what day you're born, and then there's also the time and the place. So you can find your moon rising and like all of your planets, like where they were when you were born. And that's supposed to tell you about yourself. But a lot of people want to use it to find about other people, which I think is very telling because it doesn't tell you a lot about other people. It only tells you stuff about yourself, really. And I think that's what it's honestly like. That's the best tool for it. Because I don't take it 100% as fact. I think it does factor into your life. But I also think that, like, God could have created astrology. Like, it's possible. There's a lot of Christians who don't think that, like, astrology and that sort of thing counts. But, you know, there's different interpretations.
Astrology's bullshit. But as a three-winged two, I have to say.
Exactly.
There's a lot of that going on.
Where I'm at. Yeah, I think that's such an interesting thing of like you see it more as like this is a tool that only works best as like a self-reflection thing rather than a way to like categorize the people in your life or something like that.
Yeah, because people like to generalize, and it's fun to generalize because it's a way you can generalize without being rude.
It's like stereotypes, right? Which can be bad, and also they can sometimes be like a useful comedy tool.
What's the stereotype of a Libra? Wait, a useful comedy tool?
I know, I just like really regret saying that.
New drop.
White women be like, stereotypes are a useful comedy tool.
I was told the Apple Store could provide something.
The zodiac signs, yeah.
I was trying to agree with Alyssa.
No, I fully see what you're saying. I want to ask, I'm a Libra, what's the stereotype of that? I know zero about this stuff.
Bad at making decisions.
Is that true? That can't be true. Is it? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think it is.
Usually friendly. People usually like Libras. It's like the opposite. Or like it's like the twin sign for Aries, which is my sign. Caroline, what's yours?
Gemini.
Wow. A lot of air on this podcast.
Oh, is this these are all air signs?
Yeah.
Wait.
And air signs are like chatty, right?
They can be. Gemini, definitely. It's a good thing you have like a really nice soothing voice and it's not like annoying.
That is good.
To be a Gemini cursed with a squeaky voice.
With a scratchy voice, yeah.
Fran Drescher, a Gemini. Air Bud, is he an air sign? Just kidding. Wait, is there like compatibility and incompatibility with Aries and Gemini from Libra? Like how does that...
Aries?
Like, shut up.
They all can get along really. Like people always want to know, like, I mean, there's some that are like supposed to not get along, but people are always different and there's like all these signs. But I mean, Libra's supposed to get along with everyone, and Gemini's like, a lot of people don't like Gemini because they don't understand it. It's so actually true. A cool sign. Gemini men aren't great, but
aren't
Gemini
great?
Women are cool. Yeah, Gemini men are like.
Why is that?
But that's just men. It's just men. I say that about every sign.
Every man. Yeah. A male Aries is like true trash, and a female
Aries
is like
great.
Incredible.
Now, male Libra, I'm looking it up now. It's an air sign. It's also a cuck sign. Wait. Jerry Falwell Jr. is a Libra too? Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, the constellation is like a married couple, but
and a guy's in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of funny because I posted like this meme about on Easter where I was like, it's kind of funny how like Jesus was born a Capricorn but came back in Aries, and people got so mad at me. Like they were like, how did like this is blasphemous. Like, they're like, he was not born on December 25th. And I was like,
oh,
I
right.
know. It's a joke.
Oh, man. Well, Alyssa, thanks so much for sharing your story and giving us a rundown of our signs as well.
Yes.
Sure.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back with more good astrology fun. I mean, good Christian fun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to Good Astrology Fun. I mean Christian Fun. Let's dive into the topic. Come on, let's go. Gotta know Alyssa, growing up in Florida, three times a week at church. What's she listening to? DC Talk. There's Newsboys. There's obviously Family Force 5. What else?
Oh, God. It was everything. I mean, because first I listened to, like, Zoe Girl, Barlow Girl, and then I started, oh, yeah. like, then I was introduced to Reliant K, and that just, like, started everything.
So started all female everything. Empowerment bands.
Yeah. I felt so empowered listening to
basically
it.
Pussy so Riot of CCM, Reliant K.
Barlow Girls, too.
Yeah, I mean, it just was at the right time because I was like 15 or 16. And so Reliant K, Hawk Nelson, there was the Almost, there was Under Oath, Project 86, there was...
So a lot of Warped Tour energy. That's what you were into.
Yes.
Were you a Vans wearing checkerboard pants?
I wasn't like allowed to like wear like... emo stuff, but that was like very much the thing. Like I wanted to, like especially
internally,
I was like,
you were emo presenting.
Hey, we
yes. But I was like also like really depressed, and so it's sort of like wearing dark clothes is sort of just like some kind of like trying to reach out to someone, I think. And so now I don't wear a lot of black clothing, but like at the time it was just like all dark stuff. So
Alyssa,
this is
rushing back to me, but I also did the same thing. In middle
yeah.
school. I don't think I shared this with Caroline.
You wore dark clothes?
Oh,
to,
yeah.
Like, express
oh, yeah, baby. Yeah, I wore black t-shirts every day. Like, I was like a little Louis C.K. But that's the only way in which I was.
It breaks my heart that, like, you as a kid didn't dress up as Louis C.K. for Halloween one year, because it would have been Devastating.
Yeah, that would have been very upsetting. But yes. Okay, yeah. So you present a little bit like that and you've swung the different way.
I wanted to be different. I wanted to be edgy. I wanted to have my own style. I wasn't allowed to go to Hot Topic, but I did my best.
Nice.
So yeah, a lot of like Warped Tour. I went to like Cornerstone, like festival.
But when I first heard like Family Force 5, I was like, I just really liked the energy. But it wasn't like something I listened to all the time. Like I listened to like my sad emo music, but it was definitely the music that I listened to like really energetic. If you want more energy here.
So this is what a young Alyssa Merwin puts on to pump herself up to just get absolutely stoked for whatever is about to happen.
To for God. That was the thing. It's like this stuff is like used to make you feel like you're on fire for God. And it's like, no, it's just like adrenaline. That's what happens when you play loud music.
It's like fun music, yeah?
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion with that. Well, and especially, too, it's interesting to feel like this is the music that would get you on fire for God, given how irreligious most of the lyrical content is. Unless you bow down to the God of being afraid of / not liking women.
Well, they're mean. Women are mean. Did you not know?
They're so mean, apparently.
Drama queens are mean.
They're just mean.
Gracious. Okay, so for those that don't know, Family Force 5, it's a band out of Atlanta, Georgia. There's three boys who are brothers. I believe the brothers are Soul Glow, Crouton, and Fatty.
Got it.
Dude.
These are their nicknames that they would go by.
Go wash your mouth.
Girl, wash your mouth.
One of them was named Chapstick.
Chapstick.
Stick was Chapstick, like Q-U-E.
Yeah. Little Pete, Squee, Jizzbox, and Narf.
Nice.
Three of them were brothers, and they were the son of Christian music singer-songwriter Jerome Olds. Have you heard of Jerome Olds? Because I haven't.
No.
But he was their dad, and he did put out some Christian music. I'll just play a little snippet. So just so we get the musical roots of where these boys are coming from. This is a song called Is It Right by Jerome Olds. So Family Force 5 came from this.
Look out across the ocean. Tell me what do you see?
I hate women!
Is that gospel ship?
Yeah, this would make me rebel. I'd have to change it up.
Yes, so that's Jerome Olds, and he sure does sound old. Sorry. Oh, I'm just kidding. I hope he's doing great. Unless he's a bad man. No, I wish mercy on my enemies too. Just kidding. Caroline, my muscles are straining from all the bases.
I know, you're almost home, baby. You're almost home.
So, like we said before, this is a crunk core band. Signed to Goatee Records. Their first name, by the way, was The Family with a PH, but they came into some legal trouble with Prince because of a band of the same name, but spelled with an F. And they talked about Solomon Olds, who is Soul Glow, Activator. Yeah, Soul Glow Activator. Good grief. Talking about Christian music, he said, to me, and pretty much anyone that's under my age, most Christian music is a turnoff. I don't want to be affiliated with that. I want to be affiliated with something that is great. I feel like Maverick and Goatee can pull that off because it was like a co-sign with Maverick and Goatee Records. So that was their grand vision for.
Yeah. So they made this album and they said, we're going to make music that's not embarrassing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
A different kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Like, we're not going to be embarrassing like our father was. We'll be a whole
not your dad's embarrassment.
Like, what if it was a Jesus-oriented BC Boys, but with none of the kind of campy fun that DC Talk seemed to have? Like, this kind of self-awareness of Kevin Max is always winking just a little bit.
So you guys keep saying they hate women, and you know I'm always the first one to throw that stone, and I like genuinely didn't get that from this album.
I think they're afraid of women.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Are you just thinking of Drama Queen, or are you thinking
they
of
were other Christian
songs
when they wrote this? Like, so they probably were really scared.
That's true. Terrified.
I'm still scared.
Young man afraid of women on some level.
Well, there's Drama Queen, there's Ex-Girlfriend, which is about a girl that wrongs whoever the lead singer is. There is Earthquake, where it's kind of a strange... Earthquake is, well, they love women, actually, in that one, and they want to
dance with them. Is Earthquake the one where he says shoddy?
Shoddy. Lose yourself. Lose yourself is a little predatory. The chorus is "Don't walk away from me." So that
one. Yeah, there's like something about being a stalker.
Mm-hmm. Peachy is.
He says he doesn't want to be a stalker.
Yeah. Mm. Wait, is that what he said? I don't remember. I just remember stalker.
Fair. Peachy is basically "Leave me alone, lady," and I guess the
that's
rest.
That's not a lady in that in for sure.
Really?
Yeah. Right.
What is it?
I think he's just saying like a person that's trying to like get them back into like drinking or drugs or something. And they just want to dance. Because here's the thing that I got about Family Force 5 is like these guys just want to dance. And that is
oh, yeah. They just want to party.
They just want to party. They want to be straight edge and they want to party like all day long. And I think that that's fun.
I mean, it's no coincidence that the first pop culture reference they name check is Footloose in the first song.
Yeah, and Scott Stapp.
They take a dig at him, kind of, don't they?
They totally do, yes.
It's kind of mean. They also call people ugly at one point.
Yeah, that I didn't find very, very fun or dance.
Well, that wasn't
that's true supposed
dance.
To be like, if you're ugly, you don't clap. Because like, if you're ugly people, don't clap their hands. That's
they said,
what
ugly
saying.
People, so put your hands down.
To be fair, Jeb Bush said the same thing. Ugly people don't clap.
Maybe so they meant, like, you know, morally ugly.
Yeah, so they're talking about a repugnance of character and integrity, yes. Actually.
This sounds okay, like a conversation I had with my parents like when I was 16. Like, let's talk about what's going on here.
Exactly. Because let's take Drama Queen, for example. I was listening to that, and I was also ready to be like, this is some mood rings bullshit where it's like, women are just emotional and they can't be understood.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you read the lyrics, they're talking about like just someone who's genuinely like being mean and insulting them. And he doesn't say like, I don't know. He's just like, that hurt my feelings. It seems to be generally like the gist of
they're
the song.
They're very sensitive.
Yeah, they're like, you hurt my feelings and I would like to avoid you, which I think is actually kind of an appropriate way to deal with someone.
Hey, you know I love telling people that they hurt my feelings. So, you know, I would glom onto any sort of anthemic excuse to talk about
so,
that.
I mean, I understand the sensitivity. Like, it feels weird to say she's being a drama queen. It sounds like she's just being like a cruel person to them.
Driving fast, you get to work. Queen is there being a jerk, running her mouth a million miles an hour. She's talking trash. It's going sour. That stuff that makes you hurt, cut you down like you hit the dirt. Say she's got that diva thing, that D-I-V-A diva thing. Say. Should I read all the lyrics like Lynn?
Yeah. I think that actually is kind of the spirit in which they're written.
You go and talk behind my back. Don't you know that's whack? It's a personal attack. Ooh, snap. Some friend you are to me. You're Miss Personality. Are you blind to see? You're such a drama queen. You.
Yeah.
And that's
I
it.
I see it.
I mean, I'm taking it in context with the rest of the...
Okay.
Maybe they love women. They love the women
I'm willing to be convinced, but I guess I'm thinking, like, I've been watching a lot of Selling Sunset, and they really are very mean on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this mean women, we exist, you know? Like, write songs about us, too. And you don't have to, like, you don't have to approve of them.
Well,
you know?
Representation like, matters mean. Is what you're saying, Caroline? Oh.
I'm saying two things. I am saying representation matters, and also mean women deserve to have songs written about them where they are called mean, and I think that's fair.
Okay. Interesting. Alyssa, you said beforehand that your favorite song of the album was a song called Supersonic.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's probably the best.
I want to listen to a little bit of it.
Have you heard the new sensation? Can I give you some good news? Let me tell you what it's all about, cause it's sure to make you move. You never really see it coming, cause it hits you so, so fast. When you're getting supersonic, baby, then you know it's gonna last. Talk to me now. Let go of yourself. It'll be good for your health.
don't care who watches, you gon' take it up a few notches. Come on,
Alyssa, you're not grooving.
Alyssa, I don't see the energy on Zoom. Gotta go fast. Here's my favorite lyric. That feeling, and it makes you want to fly. So have the faith to not play it safe, because you never know when you die. Just live. Woo, okay. Hey, crouton, buddy.
Hey, what was that?
Well, that's the next line is, let's lift him up. H is, and him is capitalized.
Yes.
Just lift him up because you can't get enough. Your life is so symphonic.
Felt like out of left field.
Because you chose to get supersonic. So that when you're with God, your life is supersonic.
Yeah.
And you got to get up.
Which I thought they were posing a sort of Sophie's Choice in the chorus. Like, you can have a nice bowl of chicken noodle soup, mm-hmm. or you can have the movie Sonic. It's supersonic. And I'm like, I gotta go with my little my blue guy Lord. Every time. What? Did I misinterpret? But basically, okay, it's like that, and then freaking Replace Me.
Yes. Yeah, those were the only two kind
those
of like.
Those are the only two Christian
songs.
And the
Christian themes were light in those. I mean, real light.
Yeah, Replace Me. I wanna play the chorus. Which I think, because of the desperation of so much just general CCM and the inherent desperation of so much of the Screamo stuff and the Warped Tour stuff, the chorus, desperation needing you, every last breath I scream for you, shatter me into a million pieces, make me new, crush me, tear me, break me, mold me, make me what you want to be, I am yours for you to use, so take me and replace me with you, yeah. Like, that does go either way. It doesn't have to be about God, but if it was any other genre, it would be weird. But because it is this stuff and crunkcore, it's not that weird, I think, that it would be like, yeah, shatter me. It's like, shatter me, girl, or whatever, like whatever Panic at the Disco.
It's borderline thing. Like, step on me, daddy.
Yeah.
Crush me, choke me.
Right. Hey, new drop. A lot of new drops today.
Damn it.
What?
No.
Choke me, daddy. Yeah. That's kind of going away, right? Like, I want this celebrity to spit on me culture online. That feels like it's going by the wayside.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, power to you. Keep
we're,
it going.
We're
if
too
you
busy
like.
Posting infographics on Instagram to want celebrities to harm us in any meaningful
right,
way to
right.
our bodies.
We're being no time for jokes right now.
Yeah. So as a young Christian, Alyssa, you connected to the idea being a supersonic Christian.
Sure.
Were you super involved in like youth group and stuff when you were a kid?
Yeah, I mean, I always went, and that was like my only like way I could be social. So, but I hated like the actual like church part of it. I always hated like the church stuff. I hated like the sermons because like I had trouble focusing. And then I didn't like worship because it creeped me out when people raised their hands. I thought it was weird. I knew that there were like people that were like, why isn't Alyssa raising her hands? Like, you know, as a kid. And I'm just like, I just felt so weird. It just felt so showy to me. Yeah, and I just have no desire to. Like, so I'm like, I'm just not going to do it.
I was going to say, when I was a kid, I felt convinced that the only way I could raise my hands in good conscience is if the Holy Spirit lifted them for me.
Wow.
And like literally that was
like
what
physically.
Was
gonna,
yeah.
Like,
and I'm like,
but it's like, no, don't do that.
Yeah. I'm being possessed for something. Yes.
That is really interesting. Yeah. I also had a mental collapse when I tried to think about whether or not to raise my hands.
I actually like, did have a mental like, collapse on a mission trip.
Really?
Oh, I felt so sad about it because I remember I did it one time singing in the choir. And then one of the older guys went up to me and he was like, dude, when you raised your hands tonight, that just, it was so awesome to see. They're so awesome to see the Lord working through you. All the while I'm thinking, I'm a fraud. I lifted them because I thought I was supposed to. And I didn't feel the Lord.
Yeah, you're like, I just wanted to try it tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, I was experimenting with my digis.
Oh, no.
And Tim, I think that was his name, Tim Cortman. First and last name, shouts out. Sorry.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I nothing but respect for him. I hope he's well. I haven't talked to him in like 15 years. But yeah, that made me feel very hollow. It made the gesture feel entirely, oh, this is just maybe that kind of sensation we all feel as we enter into adulthood of, oh, you just make it up and then just walk confidently.
Like, oh, I thought I was the only one that felt like a hypocrite, but actually, like, everyone's just kind of trying it out.
Yeah. What were some standout tracks for you, Caroline?
I'll tell you what really turned everything around for me, because I started to listen to this and I was like, wow. Okay, you know, once again, CCF tests me. And then I pulled up the music video for Love Addict, and that made me understand this band.
Okay, this is the single from this album, and it's still one of their most popular ones. This is... Alyssa looks mortified. We know you didn't make this music yourself. Okay, how'd this unlock it for you, Caroline?
Okay. Did you guys watch
the I watched it as well. I believe the women dancing in that music video are their wives, apparently.
Oh my God. Okay, because they were like sexy dancers. And
wives can be sexy. Unmarried women cannot be sexy. Those are the rules.
Yeah, true. And I was like, oh, this band is for fun. Like, they are doing this for fun. And their music video was, like, so over the top and bizarre and, like, yeah, kind of Beastie Boys. And they're just, like, bopping around the stage, screaming into microphones. And then, like, women dressed up as, like, sexy doctors are coming to them. And then they're in a straitjacket at one point. There's a lot of, like, problematic mental health addiction issues that they play with in the music video.
I love when people play with mental health
as sort of a costume. Yeah. But to me, I was like, oh, okay, so this band, yeah, like, they're writing these songs, I don't think, to, like, be anything other than, like, getting you to pump up and be excited and, like, not do drugs while you're doing it, you know? And
yeah.
To me, once I knew that, I actually, like, enjoyed the songs a lot more and could take them a little bit more at, like, face value. Like, they're like, really believe that they do just want you to dance and that they find a lot of value in dancing and, like, being excited.
They find a lot of value in dancing.
Yeah. Well, even that, what was that one song? I think in...
Numb? He's like, get out the cardboard. I'm gonna,
like,
dance.
Oh, Supersonic. Like, in that, like... They were singing about dancing the whole song, and at the very tail end, they're like, dance for him, like, give it up, lift him up, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, they see this as, like, an expression of faith for them. And maybe I'm, like, over-intellectualizing.
No, this is a good read.
Put their hands up. But to me, I was like, that's so cool. And it actually was, like, sort of refreshing in some ways, too, to be like, they're not pretending that they're going to, like, teach you theology in these songs or be anything other than, like, kind of dumb and fun. And so I liked Love Addict for that reason.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Man, you really tied it all together. I think the only stuff that theologically borders to me on didactic or dogmatic is the Replace Me stuff, where it does feel like I'm a worm and you need to replace me and shatter me, baby. But yeah, the other stuff is, y'all want to have fun? Like a little, yeah,
yeah, let's
little
tear it up. Let's put out the cardboard. Let's
go. It's 2006. So, you know, this was the year Press Bush was winding down that
Press
second
Bush,
term.
Just an incredible term.
He
you
was
know,
doing
like
a heck of a job,
optimism.
Brownie, in Katrina and New Orleans. And this was
all
the
move.
You can
do in the country. With that is dance. Yeah, Replace Me is kind of the only one, but it feels like an outlier in this album, too. Like, everything else is just... Like, Country Gentleman, we have to talk about that.
Why?
Like, what is that song? Why? What is that? You know?
That was really important.
Speaking of playing with mental health. All right.
Did you guys watch the video for this one?
There's a video for this?
Oh my God.
It's a great video for this.
Can I tell you my favorite piece of trivia about this song?
I know what it is.
You know,
please do.
You know what it
I'm
is.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Okay, I'll pose the question to Alyssa. There's one prestige television show that then had a follow-up TV movie in which this song is featured on the soundtrack. Can you guess what the television show is? Popular show in the aughts, ran from 2007 to 2013, came back as a TV movie last year. This
I
year?
I don't know.
Last year? What year is this? It was Breaking Bad. It was in El Camino, the Breaking Bad TV movie. Family Force 5 was.
Woo! I do have to say that the video is very silly, and they are wearing mullets, and like it's also kind of, I don't really understand it. Like, I don't understand if they're talking about rednecks or some like really specific regional kind of look, because the gold tooth and the mullet kind of threw me a little bit. But they also do have a car that I think is supposed to be like a Dukes of Hazzard car, and it does have a Confederate flag on the front, and I just had to let you know that. So, you know, we have fun with Family Force 5, but there's some things that aren't fun.
You know what? But good on them for not deleting the video, because you know how it pisses me off.
Yes, they are brave enough to keep it on the record.
Do
yes.
that like, oh, Scrubs had four blackface
the accountability,
episodes, let's
though.
Delete them all. You know what? We need accountability for Zach Braff and
yes.
all those people.
Yeah.
Including Family Force 5, most of all.
Exactly.
I know.
This song kind of makes me uncomfortable a little bit. I don't know what it is, but it feels bad.
I know it is. It's when it's the lyric, the muffler goes kablow.
I think it's also spelling country with a K. That is like a little disturbing to me.
Oh, do you think it's a racial dog whistle?
Probably not, but it feels close enough, you know?
Yeah, well, anyone that's like stoked to be this from the South, the immediate follow-up question is, why?
Plus the Confederate flag.
Like, hey, I'm from Texas, basically, and I do have some love and affinity for Texas. But if I was super vocally rah-rah Texas, people would ask me, oh, what's yeah, that what's, about? And that's even less loaded than other places like Louisiana or Mississippi or Alabama or...
Southern pride.
Yes.
Yeah, because Florida isn't like the panhandle is like considered like the South, but like Orlando definitely isn't, even though it has some like rural areas, like it's not the South. So that song I didn't ever really resonate with because I'm not from Georgia. I'm like not from the South. I'm from like from Disney World.
Now, if you could assign every city in Florida to a Family Force 5 song real quick, what would they be?
Well, Peachy.
Peachy.
Georgia Peachy, right?
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Wait, which one would that be?
Georgia Peach?
No,
that's
in Florida.
I guess for the whole state. Oh, yeah. I thought you said Georgia for some reason.
No, okay. No, we're going to do every Family Force 5 song to a state and then every astrology sign to a state capital.
Oh God.
So Albany, let's say Capricorn.
Well, put your hands up Albany would be such a California Capricorn. Because California would tell ugly people to put their hands down.
Yeah, isn't that the first lyric?
It's Los Angeles. Yeah, it's like the sample. Ugly people, put your hands down. You wanna throw down. I don't know what that's about.
Put your hands down. Man, you could be meaner back then. You can't now.
Yeah, I miss it.
Don't you miss calling people ugly?
Simpler times.
Well, a big thing about Family Force 5 that I think is really important to like the lore of Family Force 5 is like their videos that they would do, like when they first released their album, they like released these mockumentaries on their MySpace page, and I would literally like go and check the MySpace page like every other week for like their video. And so they were really funny to me, but like it was honestly like they were just goofy and like kind of harmless, like not any like cursing or anything, so like it was okay with my family. But that was like a big thing, like that was a big part of it, like feeding into that whole like narrative. And I think it was really smart. I stopped watching it after like I watched like a bunch of them. They were actually funny, like I thought they were funny.
Yeah, it's smart. It's like kind of making a reality show, you know, about the band, which is just smart to make you feel like you know them, you know?
Yeah, it's like a good idea. It's goofy. It's like, yeah.
I love when bands do comedy.
Yeah, Kevin, wasn't there another band that did the exact same thing? Like they had all these like, they would do like skits and then upload them to MySpace or YouTube, or they would do a lot of like prank things, or like, can we jump over all these chairs? It was like a big part of the band.
It was Creed, and no one was in on the pranks except for Scott Stapp.
This is a big anti-Scott Stapp episode today.
We don't want over, and then it's just like a bunch of chairs fall on him or something.
Like wreck him.
Oh, Scott Stapp. Oh, we wish you
but
the
didn't
best,
Family
Scott.
Didn't Family Force 5 like do like a DC Talk thing? Like, isn't that kind of like how they started? I thought they did like a cover.
They did do a cover of a DC Talk song, and it is on an album. Let's see if I can find it. No, that's not that.
That was like my in, I think, to like Family Force 5, because my parents always liked DC Talk, and like I think it was just like because they were associated with it that it was okay.
Oh, and that's how you kind
of
found this.
Oh, they did a cover of Mind's Eye, the song from oh yeah, it's right here. Cause you stood in my shoes, desires inside of me. Oh. But it's hard to believe in what you cannot see. Can you catch the wind? This is very different from the original.
Sounds so bare.
Okay, the original sounds like this. Yeah, it's a good song. So, Family Force 5.
Have you guys listened to any of their recent music? I think they put out an album in like 2015.
I got out of like Christian music like in 2009 once I discovered Beach House and Vampire Weekend.
Well, that was probably a good call because, well, I listened to, Kevin, you should play their, they put out a song with a Hillsong artist.
Oh.
It's like so far from this music. It's very surprising.
Which one? Which song is it?
Okay, so it's on Time Stand Still and then Walk on Water.
Okay. I'm closer to you, but ew!
So it gets worse too. 'Cause I love my fear, let my fear get in front of my faith. I'm back and forth
sucks.
Wait, you have to listen to the chorus.
Awesome.
Yeah, it isn't like a movie song. I was shook by that. I was like, oh, they're probably still doing something kind of punk or whatever. It was just no.
Either die Family Force 5 or you live long enough to become Hillsong.
Yeah. What do you call that genre of music, Kevin?
I mean,
that song was.
That feels Imagine Dragons-y, but it feels like contemporary worship stuff.
Like pop rock.
It's like contemporary pop. Worship. Like whatever. Genre Imagine Dragons would be, but like that, okay. Sort of, because that's what quote unquote rock is to a lot of people, like electro pop essentially pop rock. I would call it pop rock.
Yeah, I feel like I was listening to some of their other stuff and it's like club music.
Disgusto. I had such a weird listening experience with this today because I started listening to it this morning. I was like, okay, definitely hate Alyssa for this. Sucks so bad.
I hated myself when I started listening to it again.
And then, so I was doing this. I was actually, it was a weird thing where I could kind of like zone out while listening to the music, but I wasn't paying attention to the lyrics until like the last couple of listens through. Where I was going through, did I tell you about this, Caroline? Back in 2014, I deleted every picture I've ever taken.
No.
In 2014, I accidentally, from one of my hard drives, deleted every picture I'd ever taken from 2006 to 2014 on that hard drive. So,
oh, man.
It was just all gone. I just did it because I wasn't thinking. I wasn't, anyway, absentmindedly. So I took it to a data recovery place. And because I had not written anything on the hard drive, even though I fully emptied the trash and it was gone, they restored everything. But
oh gosh.
The catch is that the metadata was not attached. So that's all the information that says, here's
all the dates and stuff were just like gone. So it was all like unsorted.
So it's just an unsorted mishmash.
Woof.
Of photos. That's why I was texting you some in the group, some of the old photos.
Oh, because you just like came across those?
Because I was
doing that.
So
have you been sorting them?
What's that?
You've been sorting them?
I've been sorting them, but I've been procrastinating for 6 years, but it was a friend of mine's wedding anniversary and I was at their wedding 8 years ago and I could not find the pictures because it was unsorted. Because I'd sorted some of it. So I was like, oh crap, well I really want to find that picture. So while listening to Family Force 5, the album all the way through, no less than 4 or 5 times today, I'm going through all these memories of the last 8 years or so and all these Reality LA memories and Caroline, like pictures of you getting baptized while Peachy is playing. It's just like, it's a very strange experience of listening to the music.
It sounds like such a dissonant soundtrack to probably what was like a lot of nostalgia or like big feelings, you know?
Very dissonant, especially because like, you know, we talk about artists where I say I grew up with this, like KSBJ. I've never listened to these people. They came out in 2006 when I was already in my deconstruction. Just kidding, I was still in high school.
Nice.
But it was
so your experience of this was just like, whoa, nothing's stuck or like registered for a while and then you kind of listen to it.
Well, I was gonna say the experience was at first I was like, ugh, and then by the end of it I thought, I get it, it's not for me, but it's a natural extension of the sort of Wiggles for Christian adults thing that Newsboys was doing, where it's, hey, we're here to have fun, there's like a little bit of replace me God, but otherwise it's just fun times. It's just fun times.
Yes.
Anything else we want to talk about before we rate the album? All right, the motion carries. Wait, what?
The shows were really fun. I went to like, I saw them 3 times because they were always opening for people.
Oh,
so I was like always going to concerts. So they were just there. It was like, I loved it because like, it was just like silly and like fun. It was just like, you know, but there was like, because they were always opening, it was like not a lot of people knew who they were, but they always got people dancing. Like people liked it. Yeah, it was fun. It was just like kind of harmless for the most part.
kind of harmless, a glowing review.
It actually was good for me at the time.
Yeah, well, that's what it's all about. Whatever's good for you at the time, and then you don't
I feel like what you just described was like the purpose of this band, at least at this time.
Can I read another Glenn review? This is from Amazon.com. Great website. We love you, Daddy Bezos. S. Rogers left this, and this kind of dovetails with some of Alyssa's experience with the band as well. S. Rogers writes, "These rough and tumble Southern boys are the best. They go all out in every song they make, and they are proud of everything that they do. They know how to take a blow, brush it off, and continue on with what they are doing. I love their style. They are also a Christian band, so I don't have to worry about the language in their songs. My mom even likes this band, and she hates most of the music I listen to. They also make songs that relate to most people. For example, the song Drama Queen. How many of us know a person that always wants to have their way and only gets joy from hurting others? We all do. FF5 said what we all have on our minds when we see that certain person. 5 stars.
Oh, wow. They believe in everything they do. I wish people said that about me.
I'm a fairly, you know, I have some insecurities, but I'm a fairly confident person. I in no way believe in everything I do. I'm at like maybe 50, 51%.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it, I'm just like on autopilot, to be honest. But yeah.
Oh, good grief. Okay. I think it's time to rate the album. The way this works, Alyssa, is we give it a holy toast, a holy roast, or a space between. Holy toast, that's the thumbs up. When we look at Family Force 5 and we look at everything they've done and we're proud of it and we say, yeah. Or we holy roast is thumbs down. We take a look at them and everything they've done and we say,
no.
We're not proud of what they've done. Or we can be kind of meh or whatever on it. And of course, banish them to
the space between.
And we'll start with Caroline, our resident GCF drama queen.
I probably am the drama queen. Family Force 5 is a band that is for fun. They are dance activists. They are performing arts work. They are body work therapists. Like, these guys are helping you connect with the inner dancer in you.
I feel like you're like making a commencement speech at a graduation right now.
And when you come at it from that understanding, it's very fun to listen to this. And again, the music videos changed everything for me, and that clicked everything. And I think they're great. And it sounds like they served the purpose they were supposed to with you, Alyssa, and I'm sure a lot of kids like you too, where it's like, I do want something that's like high energy and fun and kind of like reminds me of clubbing, but doesn't like scare me by talking about heroin or like having unprotected sex or something like that. And so for that reason, a holy toast.
A swing from last week. Okay, we turn it to Alyssa.
They served their purpose. They love to dance, and they danced. Mm-hmm. I danced with them a few times.
Yeah.
What's that one video, Gwyneth Paltrow, where she's like looking at the camera and she's like, I danced, I laughed, I spoke, I cried, I drank. And she's like listening to all these things. That's how I felt. Yes. About listening to
Country it. Strong. I'm country. I'm strong.
I love it. No, it was just, it was fun bringing, it brought back a lot of memories. I do wish that I would have, like, it's a shame that I was raised to be critical of the media that I ingested. But it was always like, look for like references to like sex and drugs and not about like how they treat women or how they talk about women or that sort of thing. I do wish I knew that, but, you know, I was just a kid and it was fun. Yeah. Toast. Yes, I toast.
Nice.
Give them a holy, you know, we're millennials, so a holy avocado toast.
Oh, that's right.
That's why we can't afford houses.
Holy, no housing. Yeah.
Not because of the two recessions. Holy roast. I still didn't like this album.
Nothing of value. Nothing redeeming.
Hey, listen, you know what? No, I'm sure it's good for what it was, and it's just not for me. I did like how Peachy sounds like the Entourage theme song, though. Listen to Peachy. Yeah. Sounds like that Jane's Addiction song.
I would not know the Entourage.
Everyone knows Entourage, right?
Mm-mm.
Entourage E.P. Henson. That'd be my drag name. wouldn't that be good? I think someone else maybe has done that already. But yeah, not for me. Sorry, boys. Just a little too aggro. I wanted a little less wanted a little less freaking.
A little less chapstick.
A little less chapstick. I wanted a little less fatty and nay daddy.
Whoa, Kevin.
What?
I forgot about Nay Daddy.
Yeah, Nay Daddy. Nay Daddy's in the band too. Now it's just two of them. So it's like a 21 Pilots situation, I guess. But yeah, sorry, roast from me. Family Force 5. You're not Family Force 8. You're Family Force 7. Alyssa and Caroline will be joining the family. I will be watching in the corner like a Jerry Falwell
Jr.
See
you at the reunion.
But we're not the final word on this. You're the final word, listener. Go to @ChristianFunPod and you can vote for yourself. So get out there and
Pokemon, go to the polls.
I'm going to shoot him in the leg instead of in the heart.
And let's do push-ups together, man.
And that second black woman, it me.
I need to find a different Biden one, but he hasn't said anything like super iconic.
Yeah, he doesn't have an iconic line yet.
Because all his gaffes are so sad.
Yeah. You know what? We need a Pokemon Go to the polls. You know?
I know, we do. We do need a Pokemon Go to the polls.
There's time. You know, we've got a few months before this election. I'm sure something will come up.
There's a piece in The Atlantic about his stutter that he had to overcome. And I think people who read that might have a different perspective on his, just generally the way he speaks publicly. And that a lot of it isn't just senility. It's not only that, I should say.
Yeah, I thought that was a good article.
It's a good article. I love The Atlantic myself.
I love Joe Biden.
I love The Atlantic. I love Joe Biden. And I love my future wealth I will acquire and accrue. But now it's time to bring it down and not think of our wealth on earth. Think of our treasures in heaven. Alyssa, we're not here to promote ourselves or to plug our projects. We're here to lift them up to the Lord as a loving and humble sacrifice, as his loyal and faithful servants, and we turn it, first of all, to Caroline.
Lift me up at Caroline's Farts. You know what it is. And once again, I'm going to lift up Ivy.
I mean, no, you were going to say that.
I just got the finale. And the finale was so good that it deserves another lift up. It's amazing. Again, get HBO Max just to watch it. It's so good.
We turn it to Alyssa now.
First, I have to say, like, when you said treasures in heaven, it reminded me of that church that I used to go to where they used to say that, like, if you were, like, a better person than everyone else, you would get, like, more crowns in heaven.
More jewels
in your
crown.
You just had a bunch of crowns. But also, like, better houses. Like, you'd have a nicer house. And, like, I don't know how to tell you this.
Well, you wouldn't get dicks drawn on your garage door, I tell you that much.
That's what happens in hell.
No, I'm for sure getting a one-bedroom studio. Yeah, dicks drawn all over it. Filled with rats. I think that's sort of going to be my housing situation up there.
And the landlord sucks.
Sorry, I just had to add that because that was crazy. But can lift me up. Should I lift something up first? Or lift up?
Lift yourself up first.
Yeah,
it's
whatever
all about you.
Want. You.
Put yourself first, not others.
I mean, you can follow me at bitch.rising or my personal at Space Glam, like Space Jam.
Such Space a good Jam. Handle. I can't believe you got that.
And if any, I honestly, like, I don't mean to be weird, but like, if anyone like resonated with what I said, like, you can DM me and we can talk. Like, that'd be cool.
That's not weird. Hey, we're very pro DMs are open plug in this section, I think.
Well, I'll say it only because the GCF listener DMs are always just like the loveliest messages you'll get and just really nice people. And yeah,
I'm sure.
No one wants to fuck.
What? Did you say no one wants to fuck?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That might be my DM situation.
Not on the show account DMs, no.
Oh, wait, no, you said where people can find you, and then what would you like to lift up this week?
The only thing I've been watching lately is Real Housewives of Potomac. I just got caught up. It's very good.
It's good.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've been watching.
I watched 2 seasons of Selling Sunset in 2 days, so you're in good company.
Good.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere, and I will lift up frickin', I don't know. I watched The Philadelphia Story. That movie rocks. 10 out of 10. Would smash. If that movie was a person, I'd smash that movie for sure. Movies just used to be different, Caroline. Do you ever think about that?
I was like looking at your letterbox and I was like, ah, Kevin's going back in the old history.
Okay.
I love it. No, I like it.
Letterbox is so vulnerable.
It's nice. I feel like I can relate to you even more.
What? Because you wish it was the 1950s again?
Yeah, for politically and everything. No. No, just like that whole period. It was. Anyway, who cares?
Anyway, who cares? You cut yourself off so quickly.
I grew up with it. I watched it. Like, who cares?
Hey, the whole premise of this show is predicated on the fact that people care what you grew up with and what you watched.
That's true. That is true.
Who cares? Yes. The people listening to this care. And you can lift us up at Good Christian Fun. Where can you lift us up, Caroline? Christian Fun Pod everywhere.
You got it.
Patreon.com/goodchristianfun. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. In this month's charity, for the month of September, is a new organization we're going to be donating to. It's called Glitz. Can you explain what the organization is, Caroline?
Yeah, they do a lot of things, but they basically help find housing for transgender people or just resources or jobs or just even like basics. Like if they get released out of prison, they give them like a makeup kit so they can get started with that. And so it's just a cool one that I found out about and I just wanted to lift them up and support them. They're really good. They do a lot of good work.
Lift them up. I like specific stuff like that. Weirdly, like when charities feel specific, it feels like... Even just donate, like it's just a nice thing to know. Okay, this is what my money means, rather than like the Red Cross.
Yeah, like,
okay,
I know
the
they're
going to
be doing some lobbying and then other stuff or what. This is like, oh, I know this is directly helping.
I love
this
donating
person.
For lobbying. That's my favorite kind of charity.
I mean, it's unfortunately important, but yeah.
Alyssa, thank you so much for joining us on the show, friend.
Thank you for having me.
So fun.
Hey, and I guess we're gonna be signing off now. Okay. And there's nothing left to say except for all of Pod's people said.
Astrology.
Astrology.
Yeah.
F your Enneagram. F your StrengthsFinder. F your love languages. GCF is an astrology only podcast now.
This is the one.
Alyssa, what's an FF5 song that you want us to go out on?
Probably Love Addict.
Love Addict. Yes. Okay. The popular hit.
Oh,
okay, we gotta go. We'll see you next week. Goodbye. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.